If you have your Bible, turn tonight to Jeremiah chapter 33. Amen. That's God's phone number, by the way, unless you didn't know. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. Amen. That's His phone number. And the Bible says, "Call unto Me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." We look at this tonight with... We've been talking on Wednesday about being soul winners, and a soul winner is a soul that's won. That's what we said last week. In order to be a soul winner, we have to be a soul that's won. We have to be one of those that's a following the Lord Jesus Christ, one that's willing to hear what He has to say, to listen what He has to say, and apply that to our lives, that we might have that right relationship with Him so He can actually help us in our journey. Sometimes I think we miss that. I think we get to running this thing on our own, and we'll say, "Lord, I got this," and boy, do we make a mess then. I know you say, "Well, how do you know that?" Because I'm talking from experience, amen? I know that if I try to do anything within myself, I'm apt to fail. But I want to say tonight, on the authority of God, I know one tonight that's never failed, not one time. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ, the good God of glory, amen? He's always been there to be a help to me. So we realize that when we begin to run this race, we begin to try to be soul winners, praise God, and we become a soul that's won. First thing we got to realize that we got to be born again. We got to be saved. You can't go out by somebody else and be a witness for Christ if you don't have the witness in you. I mean, that's just a no-brainer. We've got to be born again. We've got to be saved before we can do anything for the Lord. And the next thing we've got to do is begin to realize a soul winner's beginning. And that's what I want to preach on for just a few minutes tonight. I'm going to be brief as I can. On a soul winner's beginning. A place to start. Amen. Where do we start at? Well, the Lord gives it here in Jeremiah 33:3. He says, "Call unto Me, and I will answer thee." So if we're going to start, if we're going to looking for a place to start as a soul winner, a witness for Christ, we've got to start in calling out to the Lord. Hey, we can't follow Him if we don't know the directions. Amen? That'd be like me telling Brother Rex, "Brother Rex, I need you to go and do that job over there." Okay, you got that, and this is all the stuff you need, all the shingles and all the felt and all the drip head, all the stuff. This is all that you need, and I need you to go over there and do that job. And he just stand there, look at me, right? He's like, "Okay, got all the stuff." He still, "Hey, there's something missing. There's some direction missing." See, if we're going to be soul winners, if we're going to say we're following Christ, witnessing for Christ, praise God, then we've got to get the instructions and we've got to get the directions. Amen? So if I say, "Brother Rex, I need you to do a job, and it's over here in such and such a house at such and such number, on such and such street," praise God, he'd say, "All right, got the stuff, we'll travel." Amen? So what we need is that tonight to help us to follow the Lord Jesus Christ to get the traveling done. Amen. So what we see here, the Lord says, He said, "You got to call, begin with." So we got to call on Me, and He said, "If now listen, what He said, He said, if you'll call on Me, He said, I'll answer." Now sometimes it seems like God don't answer, but I want to say He always answers. It may say, "Wait a minute," He may say, "Wait a little while," and He may just flat say, "No." Has God ever told you no? Amen. Because He's got our best interest in my heart. So we call upon Him and He'll answer. And He said, "I'll show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not." He said, "I'll show you things that you've never seen before." Amen. He said, "If you'll just call upon." So where we got to begin as soul winners is we got to begin by calling on the Lord. Well, first, the most important thing, Brother Dean, after we get saved and begin to follow Christ, is to begin a prayer life and begin to follow the Lord, begin to seek and desire the direction He has for us. Amen? And then, boy, when we get a hold of that, that begins to just draw us up, begins to show us the way. So we begin to find it. And that's what He did, He's telling Jeremiah here. See, Jeremiah, he was locked up here in the courts. But praise God, I won't say God's Word wasn't locked up. Amen. It's always had liberty to go wherever it would. Amen. So we see Jeremiah here, and he tells him, he said, just call unto Me, and I will answer thee. So the first thing we got to realize is that we've just got to call, trust in the Lord that He'll answer. So how do we know that God's going to answer? Because He said if we'll just pray, believing, we can get some things done. See, I think our problem in our fundamental independent Bible believing churches today is that we pray, but we don't really believe God will answer. We don't really believe that God's able and capable of taking care and doing the things that we need done in our lives. Amen? But He's perfectly capable to do all those things. Look over in Mark chapter 11. Now, I will give you some verses tonight to help us with this, if God will. Just to minister to us and demonstrate to us how much He cares for us. Now, in Mark chapter 11, the Bible says in verse starting at, let's start back at verse 22. He's talking about a soul winner's beginning. Now, just keep that in your mind. A soul winner's beginning. And he says in Mark chapter 11, verse 22, said that, and Jesus answering saith unto them, He said, have faith in God. Amen? So what we say here is that when we pray, we got to pray believing that God can. Our faith has to be in God. He said, hey, we've got to have faith in God. And you know, in order to be saved, you got to have faith in God. That's how we're saved, by the way. It's because we have faith, we put our faith, our trust, our faith is in the Lord. For by grace are you saved through faith. Amen. Marvelous grace of God comes down. Paul has prayed, God, through faith, we believe that He is. Amen. And He's the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Praise God. He's the Savior of the soul. Praise the Lord. So he says the first thing, Jesus said, now would you notice who's saying this? But then this isn't Pastor Jeff that's saying this. This isn't Stony Fork Church, Baptist Church is saying this, but it's in red writing. So if it's in red writing, that means that Jesus Christ Himself is saying these words. And He says, in order to be a soul winner, in order to have the kind of prayer life that we need, He said, we have to have faith in God. In other words, we've got to believe in the one that we're praying to. We've got to believe and trust in the one that we're calling out to. Amen. Because if we don't believe Him, how do we know that? How are we going to believe that He hears us? I think a lot of times our faith is weak. I think that's why a lot of our prayers don't get answered. Amen. Because we pray in unbelief. And in our mind, our old physical mind, like Brother Rex said a while ago, it gives us a fit. It's the thing that we have the most problem with. But our mind says, well, my goodness, they ain't nothing going to help him. There's nothing can help you. See, if we ain't careful, praise God, we get defeated before we ever get to God. But if we come faith, He said, have faith in God. It's the first thing the Lord says. He said, for verily I say unto you, and He's speaking to me and you, that whosoever, that's us, shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shalt not doubt his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now that's a big old order. I thought about that when I was working at Shaw Windows years ago, and I was living at home, and I got my knee busted up the first time, and Mom and Daddy had a big old bank out beside the house, and we didn't have nowhere to park a car. I mean, we just had to line them up down by the side of the road because there's nowhere to park. And my daddy had a car stowed off the side of the road. Ended up down there in Madison County. Wasn't nothing left but the frame. Amen? Now, you know, I said it wasn't them Madison County boys done it. Said they might drink a little bit and fight, but they wouldn't steal no car. Said it had to been one of them Buncombe boys. Amen? We had that situation. So while I was down, I had a little money. So I had this big old dozer come in, and that guy pushed this bank up. He took that bank and pushed it off in the holler and made us some parking places. But I was thinking, I was reading this, boy, wouldn't it have been something if I'd had enough faith? Say, Lord, God, I need that out of the way. And praise God, it would have happened. It would have saved me about $1,200. Amen. I wonder how much our faith could save us, praise God, if we just had faith. Amen. Just to believe God, to trust God. When we pray, oh God, you know, I've got this situation and I need your help. And just believe that He would. Might say He was having to pour a bunch of money in on it. Amen. I like that woman down there had that issue. Spent all of her living. Praise God, and was none the better. Praise God, one day through faith, Amen. She got the healing she needed. It cost her a dime. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. Praise God. When we pray, we got to pray and believe that God will hear us. Amen. He said, therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and what? Ye shall have them. Now, could that be a lie? Jesus said it. Could he lie? Amen. So he said, if we pray, believe, and praise God, we can receive, we can have that that we ask for. Amen. So one of the number one things that we got to do when we pray is we got to pray believing. We got to come expecting the Lord to move upon them. Now we got to get obstacles out of the way and be able to pray. He goes on here and he says, the Lord adds this, verse 25, and he said, when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. Amen. He said, so when you're standing there and you're praying, you're entering into the throne room of God, he said, if you got aught against anybody, he said, you got to forgive. Amen. How do you do that? Through faith. You got to ask, God give you the faith just to forgive that, let it go. Amen. He said, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. He says, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. He said, well, why did Jesus put this in here? Because he didn't want us, our prayers to be hindered. He wanted us to, through faith, to get a hold of Father and realize that Father had all the answer. Father had all the help. Amen. Father had all the guidance and leadership that we need, praise God, to let things go. Amen. So that we could have faith in God. So it wouldn't hinder our worship and our praise and our glorifying God, that he would get all the glory out of our lives. So that's what he's doing. He said that we got to pray and believe and get the obstacles out of the way. And we do that by believing. That's why he said it again, have faith in God. We can't do it by ourselves. You know, my pride's going to rise up and keeping me from doing a lot of things I need to do. But praise God, when I put my faith in the Lord, amen, he moves those obstacles for me, even to the moving of mountains. Amen. Praise the Lord. What a God we serve. Amen. Praise his holy name. Now, if you look over in Luke chapter 11, he goes just a little bit further here. Not only does he tell us that we got to pray believing, amen. But in other words, we got to pray believing God, and we got to pray believing what we hear from God. Amen. But in Luke chapter 11, he gives us our resource. We used this a while back as a resource for soul winners. Luke chapter 11, verse 11, he says, if a son shall ask bread of any of you, that is a father, and will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? And he says, now if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit, that's that help, that comfort, that one that leads us along, that brings us along. Give us the Holy Spirit to them that what? Ask him. Amen? So this is our source, this is our power behind the source, praise God. It's when we ask God, believing, amen, that he's God. Just trust in him, praise God, to take control of everything, every situation of life, our life, our fiber, our being, praise God. When we ask him, believing, amen, he does that. Amen. To God be the glory, even to the receiving the Holy Spirit of God. It begins to minister to our hearts. As we pray, we begin to believe on him, we begin to trust him, and we have the power, praise God, just to go before the throne of grace and ask. Amen. And Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, he said we need to pray without ceasing. Amen. He said pray all the time. Amen. Pray over everything. Every aspect of our life, praise God. Talk to God about it. Amen. Do you ever run up against a tough situation? You just don't know how to make through prayer. And you ever went to mama or daddy or maybe papa and said, papa, I got a situation here. Or you know, most of us, we're too prideful to do that. But we'll go to somebody and we'll say, I got this friend. I got this friend that's got this situation, you know. My friend's problem is, and you know, it's you the whole time. But you blame it on that friend. So that gives you that comfort, you know. It gives you that space and kind of makes it out like that you really ain't that person, but it's your friend that's got this issue. But you know, Mom and Dad, Papa, they always know what's going on. They say, well, I would tell your friend, amen. And then they begin to give you that good, sound advice, praise God, that they've got through experience. And see, that's what God does, praise God. He gives us that good, sound advice, praise God, because He's got the experience. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we see what's happening. Paul says, the Gospels tell us, Paul tells us that we need to make a habit of praying. Amen. Need to make a habit. You know how long it takes to form a habit? They say on average it takes 15 days to form a habit. If you do something, every day for 15 days, it becomes a habit. We had a trash can in the dining room. And a while back, it was inconvenient because you have to go plumb through the kitchen to get the trash can. So here a while back, we made provision for it in the kitchen. Amen? And for a month, I kept running the dining room with my trash. And there wasn't nothing there to put it in. But after about a month, I got to putting it in the trash can in the kitchen. Amen? I had formed a habit. I had to break that habit and get into another habit. But what Paul said here, he said, pray without ceasing. He said, we need to be in the habit of praying. Amen? So how do we get started praying? We've got to make it to become a habit. So what we've got to do is we've got to start, and we've got to do it continually. Amen? Find us a place every day, maybe at a certain time, and pray every day in that place. And after about 15 days, or maybe you may be hard-headed like me, may take you a month. Some old dogs is hard to train. But after you do it, it becomes a habit. And then if you don't do it, you say, oh, wait a minute, I've got to go pray. Amen? So if we're going to be sowing, praise God, we're going to have to be prayers. We're going to have to learn to pray. It's going to have to become a habit. Amen. But the reason it ought to be is because it's a privilege. Amen. It's a glorious privilege to be able to pray. Amen. A glorious privilege. Not only is it a glorious privilege, but it's a great opportunity. We get to go into the throne of grace before an almighty God. Amen. A glorious, a great opportunity. Glorious privilege, great opportunity, and a gigantic obligation. We're obligated to talk. If we need anything, He said we got to ask. Amen? If we've got issues, if we got things like, we got to find a place, praise God, where we can go and ask, and just keep asking. Amen. Remember the story of the maiden that went to the king, and she just kept bringing her petition to him, and he said, hey, would you go ahead and take care of her? She wearies me in coming. Amen. We just got to wear it out, praise God. Wear the place, our prayer place out till we get a hold of God, till He answers. Amen. And He will answer. Praise the Lord. If we believe, have faith. Amen. So we have this gigantic obligation to pray for others. And when we do, you know what it does? When we begin to pray, it begins to open doors. Amen. It begins to open those doors of communication, number one, between us and God. You know, it'd be a sorry person if I told my wife I loved her. When we got married in July 1986, thought I was going to forget. About the July 1986, and I married her, I told her I loved her, and I never told her, and I took off and went somewhere, and I never talked to her no more. Maybe just come by the house once or twice a year, just see if she's still there. Huh? That's kind of the way people treat God. They come by the house of God two or three times. You just see if people are still meeting at the house of God. But they say, oh, how I love Jesus. And if I'd done that to my wife, it wouldn't be long and she'd begin to think that I didn't love her. Amen? I mean, I should show her every day. I try to tell her two or three times a day. But if I went for a month or a year and didn't ever tell her I loved her, didn't ever talk to her, she'd begin to think I didn't care about her. Amen? But what it does, prayer opens a communication between us and God. Amen? It also gives us access to men. Amen? When we begin to communicate God, it brings God and men together. That's what prayer does. Amen? When we start taking our supplication, like we've been doing on Wednesday night, taking our children's stuff before the Lord, amen, what we start doing, we start bringing God down to them and them that God, praise God, we start trying to get them together. And I believe God will. I mean, I believe God's going to. I believe God's going to pull them together, praise God. I believe God's going to love them up and love on them in so many different ways. They'll have to like one of them. Amen. So what we do when we pray, God opens the door of communication and it brings people together. It brings men together with God. Amen. Let me give you some examples of that. Do you remember when Paul and when the apostles was over there and in Acts chapter 6 and the disciples come there and they was 3,000 saved a day and God was just adding to the church such as should be saved? And it come to a time when they said, you know what? We've got people that's not being taken care of like they should. We got widows and orphans and things that need some attention. And the men of God, they said, well, you know what? We need to assign some men to this responsibility. Look over here in Acts chapter 6. Let me just read that to you so I don't mess it up. Acts chapter 6, verse 2. He said, then the 12 called a multitude of disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, people that men had been with God, amen, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So that said, I want you to notice the priority here. They said, you know, in order to minister word, in order to be a faithful witness, he said, we got to stay in prayer. We got to keep a constant connection with God. Amen? In order to be a faithful witness, we've got to keep a constant connection with God. We've got to keep calling upon. We've got to keep going to him. We got to stay before his face. We got to seek his face. Amen. So we might find, I like what down there at that rally the other day, I like what Brother Huckabee said. He said, I'm not here to politic. I'm just trying to hear what America needs to do. He said, we keep waiting on God to reach down his hand and give us this and give us that. He said, we need to quit that. We need to come humbly before God and we need to see his face. Amen. See, need to look in the face of God. We need to look for the face of God. I like that word. It said, like, it's just like that little grandbaby. It crawls up in Papa's lap and just looks up at Patsy and said, Papa, I love you. Amen. That's what we need to do as a children of God. We need to look for the face of God. Crawl up in his lap, praise God, and say, hey, Father God, I love you. Amen. And we do that through prayer, through seeking his face. So if we're ever going to be faithful witness, the beginning is with prayer. Amen. That was the most important. That was the most important part, amen, in order for them to minister the word of God. Without prayer, amen, you don't get it. Praise the Lord. So we see that in the apostle. We also see it in Paul in his life. Paul had a magnificent prayer. He was always praying for everybody. Amen. Of course, we know Jesus did. He got up before daylight in the book of Mark and went up on the mountain and prayed. Got up, he prayed all night. Amen. He had a tough day there in Mark, I believe chapter 6, verse there somewhere or another. He had a tough day. So the Bible said he went up on the mountain, he prayed all night. You say, well, if he had a tough day, he should have been arrested. No, he had a tough day, so he's praying. Amen. So we see the Lord was a praying man. Amen. Why? Because he is out to win souls. Amen. So he prayed. Seek the face of God. Was with Paul, he's a praying man. Had a prayer life. Amen. At the time of his conversion, he was a praying. Acts chapter 9. Go over a couple pages in your Bible. Acts chapter 9. Bible says he was a praying man, even when the Lord was a speaking to him. And he said, Lord, who art thou, Lord? Amen. And he said, what would you have me to do, Lord? He was seeking God's face. He was seeking direction. He was talking to God. Amen. Bible says he got up there and got up on straight street. They led him by the hand, took him up the straight street. The Lord spoke to Ananias. He said, hey, listen. Said, hey, he's a fellow by the name of Saul of Tarsus. He's up there on straight street and he prayeth. Couldn't see a leg. Didn't know what was going on. Hey, couldn't even understand all that happened. He was still trying to compute it. But praise God, he was talking to God. Amen. Had a relationship, had a communication going on. Amen. Praise the Lord. Even at the time of his conversion. Amen. But then the Bible says after his conversion, after Ananias went to him, praise God, and he had them, as it were, scales removed from his eyes. He began to see. Praise God, he began to call out, began to preach the gospel. Amen. But the Bible says when you get over here in Acts chapter 9, verse 25 and 26, I want you to know something. There was a space of time here that the Holy Ghost of God left out here. Amen? But Acts 9, verse 25, he said, the disciples took him by the night and let him down by the wall in a basket. Amen? But there's a space of time here. And it says in verse 26, and when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself with the disciples. There's almost 3 years transpired. Where'd Paul been? The Bible tells the Galatians he was out in Arabia praying. Amen? God had called him, put him on the mission field, praise God. Called him to be a preacher, a man of God, praise God. So he put him to praying. Amen? Look at Galatians. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, verse 12. He said, verse 11 said, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which is preached is me is not after man. For I neither received it of men, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. He said, nobody taught it to me. He said, but God. He goes on let's go 15. Verse 15 said, but when it pleased God who separated me from mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his son in me that I might preach among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. But I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Amen. What did Paul do? He went out in the desert, pray God, and he got a hold on with God. Amen. And he prayed and he seek God's faith. Seek that right relationship, the guidance from the Lord. Amen. God called him to go out to the ministry and minister word of God. Praise God. And he took time to get on his face and seek the Lord. I think we've got this thing all backwards. Till we learn to pray, praise God, we can't ever do nothing for God. We've got to learn to pray and seek his face. Amen. Boy, we're lacking. They said the average person. Amen. Brother Dean, the average person, they said, you know what the statistics show? That how much they pray a day. The average Christian, not just person, the average Christian, when they were put under the wire, when they put under the gun, said, look, the Lord's a listening. Y'all, won't you tell the truth? The average Christian said they prayed less than 3 minutes a day. And we wonder why we don't have no power in the church. We're praying less than three, and that's probably at meals. Lord, bless this food I'm about to eat as you take that first bite to your mouth. Huh? That's most of the prayer life. Oh me, I mean, I tell you, it's sad. We're all guilty of it. We want God to bless us and help us and show us and guide us and direct us, but we never talk to Him. Amen? Only time we pray, somebody said, hey, could you pray over the altar? Could you pray for my such a... And that's a but you know what? Having said that, there's a whole lot of us will call a brother and a sister up and say, hey, such and such going on. Could you please pray for them? And they expect us to. And we should. But I wonder how many of them actually have prayed themselves. People all the time come, Pastor, would you go up to the hospital and pray for my loved one? Okay, I'll do that. But you wonder, have they prayed with them? Have you prayed with your loved one? God help us. Our prayer life stinks. Amen? It stinks. God says, hey, listen, if you want me to do something for you, then you got to talk to me. Amen. So I've got to hear from you. So I know what you need. I know what you need is. I'm just listening for you to call. Amen. Paul went into Arabia. He preached, amen. And he prayed and he come back a preacher. I mean, he come back a preaching machine. Amen. Praise the Lord. They said some of the greatest men of God that there was. D.L. Moody and them, they'd get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. They'd pray till 7 or 8 o'clock every morning. Amen. And hey, there ain't none of us going to give up our sleep for that. Our beauty rest is more important. God help us. Amen. What was the difference between these men? What was the difference with Paul? Praise God. It was the preeminent factor in his life, praise God, was he was a praying man. It was the most important part. He was a praying man, seeking God's face. Well, I tell you, I think we fell miserably on that part. See, Paul was a prayer. He had a prayer for his ministry. Amen. He prayed when he was in jail. He prayed when he was in the synagogue. He prayed when he was on the streets. He prayed in the homes. He prayed by the riverside. Amen. He prayed on the seashore. Praise God. He wasn't afraid. He wasn't out. He was apt to pray. He was a praying man. Praise the Lord. We ought to be praying people, amen. Paul said, that's why he would say in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. So we can't quit praying. Amen. I think what happens is we get discouraged and we just say, well, ain't no use. Amen. But then we're limiting God because He can. Amen. We just got to stay faithful and just keep praying. Because He does hear and answer prayer. Amen. If we just keep praying. Paul said, pray without ceasing. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, he said this. He said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now he said, be careful for nothing. And you know what he's saying? He said, don't hold back. He said, don't be in reserve when it comes to your prayer. To your prayer. He said, don't hold back, praise God. Give everything. Pour yourself out into your prayer life. Let me say this. Listen to me. Look at me just a minute. If you're going to pray and talk to God, you need to find you a place and you need to talk to Him out loud. Amen. If you try to pray under your breath or pray silently, you'll fall asleep. You'll get your mind in a thousand different places. But if you'll take and call out to God, pray in an audible voice, praise the Lord, God Almighty will hear it and He'll bless you and you'll be alert and you'll be able to pray. I've had it for a long time. I'd get out there and I'd bow my head and I'd say, Lord, and next thing I know, I'd be asleep. So, preacher, I wouldn't tell that. It's true. Amen. You come in after a long day, work all day, come in, try to sit down and pray, try to, you know, get a message and pray, looking for God's will, you know, in your life, and pray God, you bow your head, and old devil, he'll knock you. And, but you're gone. But praise God, when you're praying, you agonize God. You know, you're talking to Him in an audible voice, praise the Lord. And you can stay awake, you can stay focused. Amen. Praise the Lord. He said we need to stay focused. He said be careful for nothing. Amen. Don't be reserved concerning prayer. He said, but in everything. In other words, in everything that we need, everything in our life. He said, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Now, I like that part. What are you saying here, Brother John? It's when you begin to pray and you begin to ask and bring your prayers, your supplication, praise God, a pray in faith, believing, and then just say, thank you, God, for what you're going to do in a minute. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then God can hear and He can begin to work when we say, Lord, thank you, praise God, in advance for what you're going to do in my life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. He said, let your request be made known unto God. Amen. He's talking about your affectionate desires. That's what he's talking about when he says here, let your requests be known. Those affectionate desires. We're coming affectionately before the Lord, knowing that He is our Heavenly Father, that He loves us and we love Him. Right? Amen. Amen. We love Him and we're asking, we're bringing prayers and supplications, expecting Him to hear us. He said that requests be made known unto God, so that God can approve us and begin to assist us, and we can be assisted by Him. Amen. I got news for you. We can't do this by ourselves. We'll make a miserable failure out of it, but praise God, when we begin to trust Him, believe Him, amen, and we begin to look for His assistance in every aspect of our life, praise God, He begins to move. Amen. We do it with prayer, like I said, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Let it be known. Let your request be made known unto God. Amen. That's a worthy prayer life. That's seeking God. Amen. That's desiring Him to hear us. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, he says this. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Amen. Now what he's talking about here is praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. He said, we're bringing our needs to God, amen, and we do it by prayer. We do it by prayer because we need His help. See, He's our source of that good use of the armor that Paul was talking about in chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6, he's telling us here to put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able, verse 11, to stand against the wiles of the devil. He said, we need to be able to pray because he is a devil. Amen. We have an adversary today, praise God. He's a wicked, vile, unrespectful person. Amen. He cares nothing for us. So he said we need to pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So what he's telling us here that we need God's power, His authority, amen, to use the armor that God gives us. Amen. Praise the Lord. To be clothed upon with God. If we don't have that, we're backing up. See, that's how Paul was able to do this, because he had that power of prayer in his life. I wonder, how's our prayer life today? Huh? How is our prayer life? How much time do you spend today talking to God? It's pretty pathetic, isn't it? Huh? But God said, the Bible says that we're supposed to give a tithe to God. That's 10%. He's not just talking about what comes out of our pocketbook. Amen. He's talking about our time too. So we need to give God 10%. Amen. So out of a day, how long would that be? 24, would that be 24 minutes? No, that wouldn't be. I can't even do the math in my head. But in a day, I mean, just even if it was 24 minutes, it'd be a blessing. Because most of them, like I say, we don't give them but three. And that's just when we pray over our food. But he said we pray always. Amen. Paul said, pray without ceasing. He said, we need that help. He said, what did it do for Paul? It brought him through some things. It brought him into salvation. He received salvation. It brought him to escape the dangers of this world. I mean, they took him out, stoned him, left him for dead, and he hopped up and said, boys, let's go worship God. Amen. Why? Because he had a prayer life. He was close to God. God took care of him. Amen. He overcome his enemies by prayer. Amen. He revealed them to him, praise God, and they lowered him down at night in a basket. Amen. Why? Because he's a praying man. I wonder what God keep us out of if we was praying people. Amen. He did God. He preached the gospel because he prayed. Amen. He built churches because he's a praying man. Amen. He built churches. He sent out missionaries all over the world. He started churches. Amen. He started churches in cities. He started churches in different nations. Why? Just because he was a praying man. He got out of jail, praise God, because he was a praying man. Got the praise and worshiping God. Amen. God just opened the doors. Shook him loose, praise God. Amen. Because he was a praying man. Different thing. Praise God, because he was a praying man. He even overcame the fears of death because he was a praying man. Amen. If we're going to be soul winners, we've got to be praying. People of prayer. We got to pray, seek God's face. It changes things. Amen. You remember the story of Hezekiah in Isaiah chapter 38, I believe it is verse 5. That said Hezekiah, he was dying, and he turned toward the wall, and with tears he began to pray to God. And the Bible says that that God heard Hezekiah's prayer. He says this in Isaiah 38 and 5. He said, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. I wonder how many of us have prayed, earnestly, sincerely prayed for our lost loved one and ever shed a tear. We ought to be weeping our eyeballs out thinking they're going to die and go to hell lost out God. It ought to break our heart. Amen. It ought to break our heart. He said, I have heard thy prayer and I have seen thy tears. He said, behold, now listen to the next words that God says, I will. Amen. He said, I heard you. I've seen your tears. He said, I will. He said, well, behold, pay attention, I will. He said, I will add unto thee thy days 15 years. Amen. And he doesn't stop there. He said, I'll deliver you. He said, I'll deliver your city. He said, I'll deliver it from the Assyrian, that type of the devil in the world. He said, I'll get rid of that. And he said, by the way, while I'm in the process of doing it, he said, don't worry about it. He said, I'm going to defend the city for you. Amen. Why? Because he was praying a sincere prayer. Hezekiah was a praying man, but he got heady and high-minded. He went to say, hey, look at what all I've got. Amen. When he should have been on his face, said, thank you, Lord, for what you give me. Amen. If we're going to be soul winners, we've got, our beginning has to start with prayer. And I want to say, this next year, we need to be praying like we've never prayed before, that God will intervene in the United States of America. If He don't, we're history. Amen? If God don't intervene in these United States of America in the next year, we're history. America will cease to exist as we've known it. Amen? But we can take it by how? By praying. You say, well, preacher, we're just a few. Amen? Hezekiah was just one. Amen. He saved his whole nation because he turned his face to walk away from the world and the things of the world. And he said, "Oh God, I've been faithful to you. Would you please remember me?" With tears. And praise God, God told Isaiah, he said, "Isaiah, hold on a minute. Need you to turn around. Go back in there and tell Hezekiah I heard him and I've seen his tears and I'm going to give him 15 more years." Amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, I wonder if we got a hold of God and God got a hold of us, I wonder how many more years He'd give us. Amen. I wonder how, because God wants to use a faithful servant. I wonder what it would do to our life and our longevity if we just get a hold of God and get where we need to be. Amen. We do that, we begin to be a witness, begin to be someone when we begin to have a prayer life and say, "God, please go before me as I go." Amen. It makes all the difference. Your prayer life will make all the difference, not only for you, but for those that's all around you. Amen. In Jeremiah chapter 33, He said, "Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." He goes down in verse 6 and he says this. He said, "Behold, I will bring it." He's talking about Jerusalem, that nation. He said, "Behold, I will bring it health and cure. I will cure them and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth." He says, "I will cause the captivity of Judah, captive Israel, to return and will build them as at the first." Amen. Why? Because He had made them a promise. See, over in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, He said, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil." Now this is what God says. This is the thought that I have for my people. He said, "The thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end." Amen. God's expected end is a good end. He goes in verse 12 and said, "Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me." Now listen to what He says. "And I will," there it is again, "I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." Amen. How do we have a prayer life? When we go before God with all of our heart. When we begin to seek Him, praise God. He said, "You'll find me." Because He said, "I won't hide myself from you." Amen. If we're going to have a witness, if we're going to be a witness for the Lord, we're going to be soul winners. A soul winner's beginning starts with prayer. We're going to have to start as a prayer life. And in order to have a prayer life, it's going to have to become what? A habit. Amen. I want to tell you that's the best habit you could ever have, is to have a habit of prayer. Talking to the Lord every day, just like me and you are talking here tonight. Amen. Talking out loud. He hears. He's listening. The Bible says He inclines His ear to hear from us so that He can hear and so that He can answer. Amen. Praise the Lord.